Hello. Welcome to Press TV's News Analysis. Coming to you from Tehran, I'm Marzia Hashimi. Thanks so much for being with us. Well, is it a rags-to-riches story? As one of the most impoverished nations, maybe in actuality one of the richest. American geologists say that Afghanistan is filled with minerals, from iron ore, lithium, to gold, and much more. The value of the minerals are said to be estimated at around $1 trillion. And would a mineral-rich Afghanistan affect the way the United States leads its war effort there? Or are we going to welcome our guests to this part of the program and try to get some answers to this topic? First of all, turning to London, I'd like to welcome author and analyst Dilip Hero. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
What's your take on that question? First of all, let's start off from the beginning. Would a mineral-rich Afghanistan affect the way that the United States is running its war machine there?
I think that, you know, if it's a question of American program, there are two points to it. One is that the United States, the Pentagon, wants to have a big fight with the Taliban and show that they are strong on the battlefield. And then they want to talk to Taliban as a weak party. That's the first the assumption. That's the way the whole thing is built. That's one. Secondly, at the same time, Obama last December said, when he said that he would send extra 30,000 troops, he also said that the U.S. will start withdrawing its troops slowly, of course, from July 2011. Now, that's where the problem has come in, because the first assumption that the Pentagon's forces are going to weaken Taliban and establish themselves as the superior party on the battlefield is not working out. Very simple. In February of this year, the NATO forces, along with the U.S. forces, they captured Marja, town of Marja, which has a population of only 50,000. They deployed 15,000 troops. They were able to expel the Taliban, who fought some for a while and then they left, and they said, okay, now this is clear and we are holding it and this is going to be the model. This is the first one, it's only a small place, 40,000, but that's what we are going to do on a bigger scale in the second largest city of Afghanistan, Kandahar, which has 750,000 population. But I'm afraid that particular thing has not worked out, because by now, that is early June, you already have Taliban back into Marja. By the daytime, it's the Western forces and the U.S. forces which are in control. At night, it's the Taliban which is in control. So therefore, the whole idea, which was put out again in February of this year, that we, the NATO and the advanced, the increased U.S. forces are together going to go in and capture Kandahar completely, expel the Taliban, and show that they are not going to win on the battlefield. That particular plan has collapsed. Already now, the commander there, Mr. McChrystal, is saying, no, it's not that we want to capture all of Kandahar. What we want to do is to set up, you know, a little bit of a ring around it so that Taliban cannot move in and out at ease. And that's basically what we want to do. And of course, we're going to do it in summer. And then you have the story today in the New York Times. Oh, this David Petraeus, who is the boss of McChrystal, he says, yes, something will happen in September. That means the whole plan, because we have to understand, when you are fighting is in a way a part of politics. Politics, you know, is a part of fighting. So that the whole American strategy to strengthen themselves on the battlefield militarily, to be able to put down their conditions as to how and they are going to talk to Taliban or what conditions, that whole plan is falling apart before our eyes.
Okay. Mr. Hero, let me turn to Kabul and get our next guest in on this, Mr. Samir Sadiri, political analyst. Thanks for being with us. How do you see it, Mr. Sadiri, the recent announcement of massive minerals being in Afghanistan? If it is true, what would it exactly mean for Afghanistan?
Thank you very much. First, it is a good news for Afghan if you see to it, look at it from one angle. But from the other angle, on the other hand, it sets Afghanistan in a spot where many powers, regionals and internationals, may compete over Afghanistan because they see that Afghanistan is this much rich. But the question, there are some important questions why this report at this juncture of time. Is the West going to announce an incentive for some countries who are going to withdraw their soldiers, call back their soldiers from Afghanistan, or they want to kind of put pressure on Taliban that this country is rich and we in our allies will remain here? These questions should be answered because the releasing this type of report at this juncture of time is can be dangerous for Afghanistan.
Well, what's your take on it, Mr. Siddiqui? You've posed a question that I will repose to you. What is your take on why it has been released at this point in time? Because we do have reports that the actually minerals being had, having minerals in Afghanistan, they said reports go back to as far as Marco Polo time. So why now that this information is being released in your perspective?
One possibility can be that they're trying to cover their failures and try to divert the public opinion from the failures in the war to the economy issues, because you know that Afghanistan economy, any news that promises a reshape of the economy, that is welcomed by the Afghan nation. So they wanted to divert the public opinion from their failures, and they may test the interest of the powers in Afghanistan and by announcing or releasing this report and see what happens, who will remain with them in Afghanistan.
How do you see it, Mr. Hero, now that U.S. forces and its allies have been having rough times, as you pointed out? Do you think that possibly releasing this information at that time is related to the tough times that they're having on the battlefield right now?
Yeah. So is it for me, Dilip Piro?
Yes, London.
Yes. Yeah, okay. I think that, see, what I said earlier about the two parts, you know, one, of course, to show military very strong, and then, of course, withdrawal of American troops, there's an in-between something. That in-between is that, okay, we go in and we capture Kandahar, then what do we do? It's not that we are going to sit around, you know, for the next 5 or 10 years. We are then going to hand over security of Kandahar to Afghan army and police. Now, Afghan army and police have got huge problems. There are some basic problems which cannot be solved in years. They will take decades. What is the problem? The literacy of the Afghan police is 10%. Only 1 out of 10 policemen can read the car registration. Okay, as far as the military is concerned, their literacy is 40%. Now, how can you expect that the force, which is maximum 40% literate, to be able to handle sophisticated machinery and fighting equipment and communicate with each other, because they cannot even write. When they are getting their salary, they put their thumb impression. So I think that particular problem is not going to be solved just because another election is coming up in America in 2012 for the president. See, so there are such huge weaknesses in the whole thinking that the idea that we only put more forces and that will solve the problem. And the second point is, okay, you know how much it costs for the U.S. Treasury to maintain one American soldier for 1 year in Afghanistan? Each soldier costs $1 million. $1 billion. Now, very soon, there will be 100,000 American soldiers in Afghanistan. It will cost the U.S. Treasury $100 billion. What is the GDP of Afghanistan? $12 billion. The GDP of all of Afghanistan, $12 billion. Now, you see, therefore, American public itself is getting fed up. The last poll made by Washington Post and ABC News said 53% of Americans say that the fight in Afghanistan is not worth it. So the point is that here you have weaknesses domestically as well, of course, militarily. The whole idea that if we put more forces, then we will win is totally wrong, because for America to shift all these people, expend so much money, whereas the Taliban, they are sons of the soil. They can increase their fighting force, you know, with very little amount of money. And there are a lot of people who want to volunteer to fight. What do they want to fight? They want to fight infidel foreign troops. They are nationalists. So I think the whole thing is based on such weak foundations that it simply cannot succeed.
Okay. Well, on that note, we are out of time for that portion of the program. I thank Mr. Dilip Hero from London, author and analyst and political analyst from Kabul, Mr. Sabir Siddiqui, for being with us for that part of the program.
Thank you.